So that starts a semi-new topic, and that is we're going to be discussing the halachas pertaining to when a worker either underprices then the going rate for his work, or
he overcharges.
What we call in Chazal a concept of onah, overpricing or underpricing for the services provided. So let's take our first case, which we mentioned last week, but we're going to discuss it in detail now. We have a case which is brought down in Rav Moshe Feinstein's Tshuvas that Shimon was visiting a town, and unfortunately he died in that town, and the Chevra Kaddish of that town got in contact with the relatives and they decided to bury Shimon in the town that he was died in. So the Chevra Kaddish performed all the Tahara and the Kavua, and after they performed everything, they sent the bill to the relatives.
Well, they didn't discuss price up front.
No. The bill, in the bill, it was listed, the Cheshbon, it was listed that we are charging you, and we're going to charge you, since you're from out of town, we're going to charge you double the rates that we normally charge for people who live in the town. Out-of-town surcharge. So the question that then arose is that the relatives felt that was very unfair, and eventually the Shiloh came to Moshe Feinstein whether they have to pay this exorbitant fee because they just come from out of town.
Is the subsidized by the people who live in the town?
No. They get all their money from their fees. So the question then arises, or Moshe says, this is a shaila which is obviously concerning of onah, overcharging, and therefore we have to see whether it's applicable over here. Now let's just say that some of the basic concepts of what onah is. What is onah? So we look at number one and tell you just the basic concepts of what onah is. It says, "Asa la'adam lahonus chaveru." You can't overcharge or undercharge your friend. Bein b'mecho, bein merkiro. Doesn't matter whether it's a sale and you're buying or you're selling. You can't undercharge or overcharge whether you're buying or selling. You can't over or undercharge. Why?
Yeah,
why can't
you
we'll see.
Ah,
so we'll discuss that. We'll get that. So let's take merchandise at the moment. Whether you buy or sell, you can't get the figure wrong, the price wrong. Whoever is the one who is causing the price discrepancy, whether it's the seller or the buyer, he is over belav. He is over on isinato. And even if it's shogig, he's over on this isinato. What's it from? From a pasuk in Vayikra. Says in Vayikra, what's the pasuk? When you sell something to your friends, Okonomiyat amisecho, or you buy something, alto no ish es ochiv. Do not overcharge or undercharge your friends. But ain't lokim alav. You do not get malchus for such an issa. Why? Why don't you get malchus for such an issa? Because the fish of a chlau, no, doesn't say that. The fish of a chlau loved the low sigzal, because it's included in the vera of gezel. When you overcharge somebody and you undercharge somebody, it's a offset or a section of gzela, of stealing.
How is that?
Is it a separate law in the Tariyat?
It's a love, but it's a the love which tells us once we have this issa, I wouldn't know that it's gezel. This issa reveals to me that this is gezel.
How is it gezel?
That's why you need the love, because I wouldn't think it was gezel.
So how does the love say it's gezel?
The love says is because is that I didn't realize that you were charging me. I definitely was consent that I agreed to pay for such a figure, but I didn't understand that it was being such a figure that was not the going rate of the market. And therefore, that in itself is gezel.
So it's only if I didn't understand that it was not the case.
Yes, you can always make, say, I tell you up front that this is the price. I tell you up front that it is way overpriced, and you accept it, then there's no isurim. Here we're talking about a case where I know it's a price, I'm willing to pay the price, but then I find afterwards that the price is such a price which is not the market rate, and therefore is under the concept of gezel. Even if they would know the price up front, but they didn't know if they would not know to overprice.
But they knew as soon as they got the bill.
Now they don't want to pay, because
right.
It's overpriced.
So it's not on law yet.
So they don't want to pay. So they don't want to pay. They say this is. So that's what they're saying. We do not want to pay because it's overpriced. So since it's a part of gezel, therefore you don't get malchus. Otherwise you would get malchus for doing such a thing, but you don't get malchus because gezel doesn't get malchus. Why? Because there's a concept by gezel that there's an obligation to return it. There's chiyev lachzira. By gezel there's a chiyev to give it back. And whenever you can rectify the issa that you're over, you don't get malchus for doing that issa. And since gezel you can rectify, therefore there's no malchus. So similarly, onar, even though it ends up being overpricing, it ends up being gezel for overpricing somebody. But since you can rectify that issa by just returning the money or giving more money, depending who got wrong the figure, that you don't get malchusit, but it's a homo issa of gezel.
So if I say unwittingly overcharge someone, and then I later discover that I overcharged him, and he never comes to me, I'm okay to proactively go and return to him the difference?
Yes. Now, since it's gezel, there's a chiv to give it back, even if the other party doesn't know. Now, what is called overcharging? How do we measure it? What is the figure which is considered overcharging and therefore gezel? So, Chazal tell us that the figure is a sixth. If you overprice the article by sixth, or you underprice the article by sixth, then that is called onar, and comes into the parsha of gezela, and you got a chiv to return the money, or to give more money, depending on the scenario. Now, what do you think? How do we measure this six? Relative to who do we measure this six? What is called the market value? Tell me. What do you think the market value is of an article that you can measure a six by?
Where you are. Depends on location.
So what is definition of location? What is location?
Well, wherever the Chevra Kadisha was, where they buried it.
So just that town is
for that particular purpose.
Is it that block or that neighborhood?
Maybe.
Two neighborhoods that have different prices.
Yes, so what do? You can have four shops which have different prices. How do you measure location? first of all. Okay, so location is a logical way of doing this. Location is the market which you're able to, you, the buyer and the seller to the buyer and the buyer to the seller, could provide to. So therefore, it depends on the article. If we're talking about milk, then obviously it's a very small location. If we're talking about buying a car, then it's much bigger location. And if we're talking about buying goods like clothing, then it may be a huge location, because you can even get that maybe sent on the through the internet and things like that. First we define location. So location depends on the market available for this transaction. That's location. Now, once you define location, you now gather, involved in that location, we've now got 20 options. You could go to this place, you could go to that place, that is your location. Now, how do you measure now the six? Who do you measure the six from? Which one is the figure out of these 20 that you measure? Oh, he's the price, and then I have to keep within a sixth of him, either above or below. How do you measure that?
Well, it's probably your range, because there is no established size, and I would think you would use a range. You take the lowest and the highest, as long as it's between there, you should be okay.
Lowest and the highest?
I would think that it's a range.
More than a sixth already. That's the highest, that's the lowest.
Yeah, no,
more than a
sixth.
An average. A sixth from what?
Six has to be from where you're under overpricing. Anything in there was within market range. It's not, you're not even,
if you look
less than a sixth.
You probably go by the highest.
What, you take a sixth from the highest and a sixth from the lowest?
Yes.
But then you'll never be overcharging.
For sure I will.
Because the highest, if the highest is the price,
the guy you bought it from.
So therefore, it's the overcharging. That's the guy you bought it from.
Everybody else.
Everybody
else.
So the one before the highest, you say?
Yes.
And the one before the lowest.
Not the one before the highest.
Second highest is second lowest.
If the highest is somebody else besides me, then you go by him.
But if
I'm the highest, then you measure me against everybody else.
So you're saying always the second highest? Yeah?
No, because the highest may be somebody else, and in that case you would take the highest.
Meaning, what do you mean?
You're below the highest in the next major price.
What?
Because you're below the highest.
That's what I'm saying, as long as I'm below the highest, it's going to be okay. Yeah.
So we're not measuring the sixth at all? Then?
We are, because if I...
You're saying that the second, as long as you're not the highest, you're okay. Yeah.
Correct.
And the highest
as
guy...
Not the lowest, I'm okay.
And the highest guy, what do we measure him? Sixth from you.
From me. Right.
So therefore, you're always saying you're measuring the sixth from the guy who's not the highest. Yeah?
From what?
From the person just before the highest, you measure the sixth from him. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying if I'm not the highest, I can go to the highest one. I don't even have to get to the sixth. I mean, this is just logically what I'm...
Yeah, so where's the no? Why is there no? What about the highest?
The law is if I'm the highest guy, and I'm more than a sixth above the next lowest price.
Yeah, so you're
assuming all things are equal.
So you're saying that
you're
sixth from the second highest guy. That's what you're saying.
Yes. If I'm the highest.
Yes. Yes. If you're the highest, then
yes.
But if you're not the highest.
Then I'm by definition okay. That's what I'm referring to. What? That's what I'm assuming.
And similarly with the lowest, you have to the same thing.
Right.
Okay.
Is it only a function of price or
profit? It's what is being offered in the market. Yeah, the price that's on the label. On the label, no.
Not an issue of profit.
No, not an issue of profit. So, the Ritva says like this. So the Ritva says like this, number two. We have a case, the Ikka de Matagri Batalsa, the Ikka de Matagri Ba'aba. You've got some people who hire themselves out for $3 an hour, and some people hire themselves out for $4 an hour. Now the difference between three and four is
more than a six.
The Kivan Techein, Yodim Atatona, the Lesle Elatalsa. Therefore, if you hire a worker and you didn't fix a price...
You're talking about a worker?
Yeah, hire a worker, you don't fix a price, then you can give them the cheapest range, which is $3. an hour because you didn't fix the price. Afilu, even Ruba Badiyadus, even if the majority of the workers are hired for $4, Umid Begimel, and the minority are hired for $3. Shane Holker Bamakarov, you don't go after the majority and you can still pay them $3.
This has nothing to do with Omar.
So we see what we can learn from here is that even if the majority of the market rate is $4 and there's a minority out there of $3, it's not a problem to pay them $3, which means clearly that in Onar we do not go after the majority. That's clear. Yeah. We don't define the price of the market that we're measuring sick from as the majority out there.
So far I'm okay.
So far you're okay.
Onar is either over or under charging.
Yes.
Then by paying somebody $3, you're under charging because there's a...
Well, what are you comparing it to?
That's so that's what the Ritva is saying, that we see from here, that what defines the price that you're measuring from is not the majority.
I understand that.
So therefore you're not charging, undercharging.
Is there a way you're going to be over?
No, you're not. No.
No.
You're staying in the market.
People are charging $4.
Yes. So maybe both were okay.
No, so he said, you can pay, if you pay $4, that would be all no, because there are people who offer this.
No, it's not saying that.
I'm not saying it's all no.
No, saying that $4 is the what everyone pays normally. There are a minority which pay $3, and you can pay $3. What? To go off the road, to define the price of the market that we measure
for.
Not for Mammon. So that the option of Rove, majority price is out. That we don't define as the market price.
Unless that wouldn't establish an assumption that that was their meeting of the mind. That
no, because Ein Mahalkim B'Mammon Achar Rove.
Not because of the din of Rove, because Rove would dictate that's what they both. That you don't say that. Okay.
Now, so what do we go out by? So the Chavis Yah, and this is what's brought down in Halacha, says like this, number 3. Im lo nimtza makbidim ra'achas v'shtayim me'ir. If you only find...
The same case as the
yeah. If you only find one or two who charge that lower price, near the bottle of dat and eitz kol odom, then you can't go after that lower price. They're not called a minority. Rak miet de miute. They're called a miet de miute. A minority of a minority. And that we don't relate to. So we therefore deduce from here, la locha la maisa, that what defines the price which we can relate to, the price where at least 3 outlets are charging that price. And therefore...
You're taking literally one or two?
Yes.
1%.
Miuta is not a percentage. It's what he says is a price of 1 to 2. What, 1 or 2 people doing it?
Why are we taking it literally? I mean, if we're dealing with 10,000 outlets, what's the difference between 1, 2, or 3?
No, because if you have in your marketplace, which you already defined, already 3 people charging that same price, then it's enough chashivas to that price for us to say that it's a price which is an acceptable price. We need a chashiva price to define the price that we can relate to. What defines a price that we can relate to as a chashiva price that can be a price which can be a true price for the object that you're buying? Something which 3 outlets are ready to prepare to charge that price.
So if there are 5 different prices to be charged by more than 3 outlets each,
then they're all out of the range.
They're all in the range.
What do you mean? Then repeat your case.
Yes. Split into 5 different groups.
Yes.
Three.
Oh, okay, all three.
And they're charging five different.
Yeah, so all within the range.
All considered within the range.
All considered in the range.
So, Ona would be defined as 1/6 over the maximum or 1/6 below the minimum.
So let's summarize now the definitions of Ona. Yeah. So let's define what is Ona before we get into our case. We define that Ona is that if you overprice or you underprice for your goods more than 1/6, then it's considered like gezel, and you've got a chiyuv to return it. How do you measure the price that you're relative to the 6th to what? What is the price that you're relating the 6th to under and over? First, we have to find the marketplace. That means when you are able to do this transaction. So some marketplaces are very small, like milk. Some are much bigger, like cars, and some are huge, like clothes and computers and things like that. So the marketplace is huge. You can get them all over the world. Then, since we can define the marketplace, now we look at those marketplaces, and you've got now 20 options of buying from. What is considered the price out of those 20 that you're going to measure the 6th difference? That we defined as the three bottom ones or the three top ones which are charging the same price. If there's three, the top, charging the same price, then you measure 1/6 over those prices. Or the three bottom was charging the same price, then there's 1/6 under those prices. For example, if you've got three shops charging $10 for this article, and you've got three shops charging $4 for this article, then 1/6 of overpricing will be more than 1/6 over 10.
And the other pricing
will be 1/6 from $4.
Anything between 4 and 10 would be fine.
Everything between $4 and $10 would be fine, and the 1/6 undercharging would be 1/6 under the $4, and the 1/6 overcharging will be 1/6 over the $10.
Now, just a technical question. When we say 1/6, do we mean if something costs $6, 7 is the most you can charge, or something costs $5?
That's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and the Gemara, whether you measure it netto or bruto.
Right.
So we have to be more machmir.
Yes.
Yes. So. We have to have three outlets which charge the same literal price. If you have an outlet 10 and another 10.5, they're not called the same. We need to have three outlets charging the same price. Then we have to make sure that all the prices are within 1/6 of each other. Yes. Now. So now we define, so you're giving out the general principles. Now, get back to our case. Our case was that the person died in a different town. He was buried by that Chevra Kedisha. Who performed Tahara. They gave the bill and they said, since you're from out of town, we're charging double than the going rate which we normally charge. Now, does that come under the principle of Ona? That was the question.
That's the going rate for out of town people.
What do you mean going rate for out of town people?
That's
for this town to charge. They have a principle of charging double for out of towns. So why does that make it okay?
So the question is, do other towns in the neighborhood, in the area, also overcharge extra for out of town clients?
The question is, what do they have the petition charge?
They didn't have to bury him. All of us had a choice where to bury him. But that doesn't make a difference.
That makes a difference. You have a choice where to buy your outfit.
So in this particular case, maybe they had an option of going to the nearest town or other town, so the marketplace is quite small for burying somebody, so maybe two or three towns, and it happened to be that the price was definitely over and above 1/6 of all the towns for the rate of that service. So therefore it definitely comes under the concept of Ona.
How did we get from service?
Now we're going to tackle your issue. Does Ona apply by services? Up to now we've been discussing goods, articles that you buy. And there's a concept of onah. Does it apply by services or not? Onah.
What?
Yes? No, it's not service. It's yours. That's
the
okay.
Didn't the Rick just say by hiring this worker?
What?
Hiring a worker. Didn't the Ritva just say that?
The Ritva was talking about a worker, yes. The Ritva was talking about.
The Ritva's not talking about Onar, though. He's talking about what price.
He wasn't talking about Onar as an issue. He's just raising what's considered a choshev price, an important price that relates to.
Skilled labor might be too hard to find because I can offer the same services as you, but if you're 30 years experience and so of course you're going to be charge. But if it's a stack of boxes, it's not the same store, price.
Yeah, but sub services.
No, the same service.
Yeah, so we add.
I'm a sofa, I need a sofa. And you hire me to write a
statement.
It's not
the same service.
I did Tahara.
You're writing a much better
statement. Tahara. Just on the Tahara.
Service, different quality.
A different quality makes it a different service.
That's the question. That's what I just said.
You can't say.
No, I just.
Not the same. Not the same service. Now, so I'll give you a Mishnah and you can work from that. The Mishnah Bava Metzia number 4 says like this: Eilu Devorim She'ein Lahem Onah. There's some things which the concept of overpricing doesn't apply to. What is that? Ha'avodim. Slaves. Slaves. Yes. Buying and selling slaves. Hashtaris. Buying and selling debts. Debts. Hakakos. Vahahekdashis. Buying and selling land. Doesn't come under the concept of overpricing. Hakakos is for Hakakos and Hektashis. So these are the 4 topics which don't have onar concepts to it. You can understand from there that if anything else does have the concept of overpricing. Now, does services fit into any of these categories?
Well, these are all talking about tangible objects, so they may not be addressing services at all.
Yes. So does any of these categories, so you're saying it doesn't, yes?
It doesn't, but it doesn't exclude it either, is what I'm saying.
Well, the Mishnah is giving you a list like this, I'm giving you a rule. We've got concepts of onah. The only things which are excluded from this concept are these 4. Services did exist in the time of the Mishnah. If services was one of these categories, if services is also excluded, then it should list it, yes?
Well, no, that's fair.
Or you have to say that it's included in one of these categories.
It depends what the definition
is. So is it included or is it not included in this category? That's what you have to say.
It depends if
you hire a slave, and you have a slave with 1 year experience or 15 years experience, it could be different.
Very good. It could be included in the category of a bottom of slaves. So let's see what the Rishonim say.
What's
Hektashis? Hektashis is when I made something Hektish and now we have to estimate how much it is in order to redeem it from the Hektish. So Hektish can overcharge or under, it doesn't matter if they overcharge or undercharge.
Doesn't apply to
them. What? Hektashis doesn't apply, but it may apply. May apply, but we'll maybe talk about it in about 5 months' time. Whether there's something, the Hektashis is dafka, a category of the Beis HaMikdash, or does it apply also to Stocker? Maybe Stocker is also considered Hektash. We'll decide. Okay, so the Ramban says like this: Ubeschiras Yisrael, when you're going to hire a worker, a Jewish worker, who goes Shesocha Pe'olim, you hire workers. Yesh Omen She'ein Behem Onah. They also don't have the problem of overcharging or undercharging. Why the lav mecha hu? Because it's not a buying. It's not a sales contract. So what is he saying? The Rambam's by saying that.
It's not in the category.
It's not in, even though it's not listed in the Mishnah, but it's not included in the issa of overcharging or undercharging, because the issa is only relevant to when you buy and sell goods. Because the Torah said from the Pasuk, Ki simcha mimemcha la'am misecha. When it's talking about the issa, the prohibition, it says when you buy or sell. So therefore, says the Ramban, it's only when you're buying and selling. When you're renting, you're not buying or selling. So what? it comes out according to the Ramban, not only when you rent workers, there's no problem of overcharging or undercharging. Even when you rent articles, there would be no problem of overcharging or undercharging. Because the concept of Ramban is that prohibition only applies by a sales contract, not by a rental contract.
Why did he mention specifically Yisrael?
This issa of overcharging does not apply by Goy, because it says in the Torah, Amisecha.
Oh, so you have a category of Gezel which would only apply to a Jew and not a Goy.
Correct. You have a category of Gezel only applies to Yisrael, but not to a Goy.
Interesting.
Now, that's the opinion of the Ramban. The Rambam says differently. He says, nearly shakablon yesh ona. A kablon does have ona. What's a kablon? A worker. You hire a worker. Says the Rambam, and this is the Kess of Misha explains the Rambam like this. Why by kablonim is there a concept of overcharging? The reason being is that he learns that a contract for rent is included in a contract for sale. Every rental is also a type of sale. Why? Because we have a concept in the Gemara that says Chiras Layoma Mechahu. Renting for one day is also like a sale for that day. So all rental contracts are included in sale contracts, and since there's a prohibition for sale contracts, there's also been a prohibition for rental contracts. Except for Kaka. It doesn't apply by Kaka.
Is he saying Zavka Kablan or also Spiros?
It says the Rambam, this only applies by Kablonim. But if he's a Sochiyom, if he's a hired laborer, a hired day laborer, then there is no concept of Onor. No concept of overcharging. Why? Because like you said, because when you have a hired labor which you pay by the day, he's considered like an Eved. And just like the commissioner says that if you buy an Eved, there's no concept of Onor, of overpricing, who also applies when you rent an Eved, there's no concept of overpricing. And a hired labor for the day is considered an Eved, so therefore there's no overpricing by a hired labor for the day. But there is overpricing concept for a kaplan who's not a hired worker, he's just giving you services and you're paying for his services.
So according to the Rambam, say I charge a fee for a tax return, that would be onah, but if I charge by the hour, it would not.
So we'll discuss the definition. Let's say yes at the moment.
Okay.
We'll say yes, but we'll discuss the definition of what exactly is a kablan and what exactly is a hired laborer in a minute. Mm-hmm. But we're saying at this stage that the Rambam is of the opinion that a kablan, there is onah. You provide services, there is onah. Yeah. Now, coming back to our scenario, is this services provided, or is this a hired laborer? This is, of course, services. Would there be onar concepts by the case of the Chevra Kedisha who overcharge for it or not?
Well, then I'm also selling a plot. As part of the
we're not taking, we're talking about this, the Tahara process.
Okay.
So, would there be onar? It would be dependent on this machlokus between the Ramban and the Rambam. Yes, but there's other people in the other town which also perform Tahara, and you could go to them, and he's overcharging. Yes? And they themselves are saying, we are overcharging really for this service, because you're out of town and we're charging double. So, it's dependent on this machlokes. So what do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? Do we paskin like the Ramban or the Rambam? So the Shulchan Aruch says like this. We paskin like the Rambam, that there is a concept of overcharging by Kablan. And the Ramah also agrees. And the Shah also agrees. And the Nesivos also agrees. So everyone on the page, if you want to call it, says there is a concept of overcharging.
That's because it's marked, because Skiris is not Memcha.
Skiris is Memcha, and therefore it's included in the category of sale, and therefore it is in the concept of overcharging. Rental is included in sales, and since sales is a whole category of overcharging, so also rental is a whole category of overcharging. Not like the Ramban, which says rental or not sales.
What am I renting? If it's Kablan.
Kablan, a service.
No, what am I renting? I'm getting a service. What am I renting? I'm renting the person.
You know? I'm asking him to provide me a service, yes? to do a job, yeah? There are people who say you're the type of Nusuf, but that's not the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah said, the Pshat and the Rambam, is that you're renting. Renting is in the category of sales, and therefore there is a concept of overcharging by Rambam. You're asking him to do, you're paying him to do a service, to do work for you.
Or you're renting a person.
Yeah, you're renting him to do work, but he's not your hired laborer. He's not like an Ebed.
But that's why.
Why he's not like an Ebed?
Yeah.
We'll take on what you said, because he doesn't get paid per hour. Yeah, let's say that for a moment, no, before we change the concept.
I understand the logical chiluk there, but if the only reason Skiris is... Skiris can... You can only call Skiris or not as much as you can call the actual Memcha or not. If I sold the Kablan, that would be an Eved. So the Skiris of the Kablan can't be any worse than
he's on Eved. I'm asking him to do the job, but I'm being very nice to him in the sense that I'm not like, he's not like my Eved.
Well, Seriyom is the same thing.
What? So Seriyom is more than Eved. Well, get into the exact definitions. Now, so everyone on the page paskins like the Rambam, and therefore there's a concept of onar, and therefore Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva says the Chevra Kedisha can't overcharge, it's onar. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein. However, there is a Rekiva Eger who has a little note on the Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch brings down the Rambam, he writes, I, Ramban, that he's cholek, he argues. And therefore, since the Rav Akiva Eger brings down the Ramban, that there is no concept of overcharging, there's lots of Israeli poskim saying that we cannot be forced to take out money from somebody based on the Rambam. If you've ready paid and now you want to get it back because you're overpriced, because the Rambam says overpricing is a problem, since there is a Ramban around, we cannot force them to give back the money, because according to the Ramban there's no concept of overcharging.
But they didn't pay it.
What?
They didn't pay it.
Yes. So therefore, according to this, a lot of the Israeli poskim, it depends whether they paid already or they haven't paid. If they haven't paid, then they don't need to pay, because it's overpriced. But if they're ready paid, and you want to get it back because I was overpriced, I can say there's no concept of overpricing because of no bond. The overcharge, because you can't get that entire amount unless you can return the goods provided.
Can you? Do you have that option?
If you're overpriced more than a sixth, then you can get, then the whole thing is bottled. Then the whole sales bottle. Normally,
you have the right to return the
if you have exactly a sixth, you only get back the difference. In services, it's not possible to turn back, so therefore it's only returning back the difference in money.
But if it's an actual item?
If it's an actual item, not you have the option, that's the only option of returning the goods.
Oh, you don't have the choice of returning the difference?
You can't have the choice, unless there's agreement on both sides.
You must return the sale.
If it's charged more than a sixth, then you have to return the goods and you get your money back. You can't force keep the goods and I give the difference. You can't do that. But in services,
if it's like a Zela, then the seller can say,
no, I would have never sold it for
you.
No, I would never sold it for such price. I wouldn't have sold it such price. If I'm not going to get that amount of money, then I would never sell it, he can say. But in services, since it's impossible to give it back, then the concept of a no is only ever returning the difference. Yeah, this is what we're saying. If you're ready paid, then I can say, Kimli, like the Ramban, that there's no concept of overcharging. Don't do this. Don't do it.
They went ahead and did it.
Now we can't take the money back. Okay. Now let's go to our second Shaila, and we'll get into your issue. The second Shaila is, we had Yehuda's family hired a special taxi to take them from Yerushalayim to a hotel in the north. The price was fixed.
This is an actual case.
Yes. Okay. The price was fixed at 800 shekels.
I always taxi.
Okay. The price was fixed at 800 shekels. This price, after the journey, they went and they paid it. And then they found out after that it was way overpriced, that the standard rate of this journey was 600 shekels. 600 shekels. 200 shekels. Definitely overpriced. Yep. Can Yehuda's family get their money back? That was the question.
Now when you return the money, you return it back to the regular price of 600, or you return it back to 1/6 higher than the 600?
No, you have to give it back to 600.
But the taxi driver was entitled to charge 1/6
more. No, the rule is, and it says it clearly in the Gemara, is that if you go over too much, then you have to give back all to the original rate. What? In service, yes. He's already paid. Now. So first,
split the cost of the vehicle in the service cost.
Ah, very good. He says it's not necessary services over here, because there's two parts to this job. There's one, the vehicle, and two, the driver. Is that service industry, or is that a split? That's one question. Okay. So before we get into that, let's define what type of service is it. Is he a hired laborer, a pole, where according to everybody there would be no concept of overcharging? Or is he a kablan, and therefore it will enter into our machlokas, which we discussed before between the Rambam and the Rambam? What category does they fit into? He had fixed the price, yes. So how do you find contracts? Qablan literally means in English, you contract out work.
If you take them in halfway and the bus is broken down, and then you take them in home, they wouldn't have to pay for the service because you didn't get them there.
No.
So he's a Qablan. His job is to complete the job, and he didn't complete the job. If he didn't complete the job, he wouldn't get paid. He's a Qablan.
Okay. So,
and you're saying with a laborer,
so your definition of a high laborer is?
Is there for somebody who pays for the service even if he performs bad?
Okay.
No, I would say
inefficient.
I would say that
that's the best job. A laborer would get paid prorated per hour, probably.
So you're saying per hour? A bit different from what you're saying.
Prorated for the time of the test.
Yeah.
So even if a fixed fee was negotiated with a laborer to work for some period of time, you can divide it by days or hours, doesn't matter, but if he only did 50%, only put in 50% of the time, he gets 50% of his pay.
Okay.
Depends
how the contract went, yeah.
No. If he built half the project, why shouldn't he get 50% of what he was
doing? Oh, he took you halfway there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless it costs you more to finish the
project. Half the project you can do something with, and you can get somebody else to build the other half of the project.
So we're going with a concept that you get paid by the hour, or we're going with a concept that you get paid even if you don't perform. Okay. What? Fixed price rather than paid by the hour. Okay, okay. So says the Chumash Sedeshin. Reuven socha es Shimon. Reuven hired Shimon of Asara Suhuvim. I'm charging 10 Suhuvim, a fixed price. Shielach le Medinas Ploni el Levi. Your job is to go to Levi. Umosalok Sovim Elecho Olof and give him letters. Le Shadich lo Isha Misham to get a Shidich. Viyotze le Daka. And your job is to go on a journey. Le'acha Gimayomim after 3 days. Start the journey after 3 days. Viyotze le Tokim Oshvuas. And come back within 3 weeks. That's what I'm hiring you for. After that, you're not hired. Says the Chumash Sedeshin, which is not printed over here, that this is completely overpriced. He's giving him 10 zuhuvim for a job, which is not normally 10 zuhuvim. Is there onah? So says the Chumash Sedeshin, Lefi the Rambam, who holds, there is onah by Qablan, but not by Schiros Polim, not by a hired laborer. Is this hired labor or not? Says the Chumash Sedeshin, this is hired labor. You're giving him a fixed price? The Chumash Sedeshin says, what defines a hired laborer is not that the price is fixed or you're paying by the hour. That's not what defines it. It defines whether he has to work within a specific time frame. If he has to work within a specific time frame, then he's a hired laborer. If he doesn't have to work within a specific time frame, then he's not a hired laborer. Why? What's the logic? It's very logical. If you want to compare him to an Eved, then just like an Eved, I can tell him when to work and he has to listen to me. Then a hired laborer, which you're comparing to him, that also doesn't have the concept of overcharging, has to be also somebody you can dictate when he has to work and when he doesn't have to work. So the definition of hired laborer is I'm dictating when he has to work and when he doesn't have to work. Not defined by whether he's getting paid by the hour, not defined whether he gets paid, whether even if he performs and then he doesn't perform and he gets money or not. At the end of the day, that definition is whether he has to perform the job at specific times. That's the definition of hired laborer.
So Monit is not a specific time.
Yes. So Monit, what is Monit?
Get me there by
get me there on Shabbos.
Is it a specific time, the taxi guy? The Monit, is it a specific time or not? What do you, how do you define the Pacific time? What we just said, listen carefully, what we just said, he has to be domer to an ever the slave. That means I can dictate to him when he has to work for me and when he doesn't have to work for me. So what is a monit? Can a monit decide, okay, I'm taking you to Tiberia, but I'm going to Eilat first?
No?
No. Can he say, I'm going home and I'm going to pop in for lunch and then I'll take you? He can't. So therefore, monit is considered a high laborer. If so, according to everybody, there's no concept of overcharging.
This is high, right? This must be why Kabul and them never do anything on time.
I think also that's something different. Regular laborers, he does a job, and basically there's a whole range of people can do it. But maybe by a driver, you want to make sure he's a good driver. You're not going to take the first guy who comes along.
So what? Why does that define whether he's an Evet or not? Under the concept, oh no, we just want to know something. Is he your Evet? Is he not your Evet? What defines that? Whether I dictate him when he works and when he doesn't work. Over his time when he's working.
Control over all of his, you know, how he does the job, he's doing it, or whatever.
Now we see that's too much.
You split the costs versus
now.
Does he use the same definition of Schir versus Kablon by the Yisrael of Sullen?
By?
The Yisrael of Sullen?
Yes.
He does?
Well, we'll see whether Kablonus has a problem with Solo Baltolin, but that's next week's shit. Okay. So, but, as you mentioned before, what is he hiring him? To do a service or to, for his car?
The service. He doesn't care which car, with the car.
What service is he? Says another Chumash Sedeshin. Says another Chumash Sedeshin. Number eight. Number... wherever it is. Next one. So he says, Shulchan Aruch Simon Reish Rav Zayin, like this. Socha Pol in Sus. You hire a worker to take you to a journey with his horse. O Chamor, or donkey. Afa Pi Shavasad Atzma Ein Bo Onor. Even in respect to him, there's no Onor. He's a hired laborer. Misad HaBehema Yesh Bo Onor. In respect to the animal which you are also hiring, there is overcharging. And you have to work out how much he overcharged you in respect to the horse. And they give it back. Now, if so, how do we work out what part is... He charged you 800 shekels in. What part of these 800 shekels is for his car? And what part of the 800 shekels is for the service of driving the car?
Wait a minute. Here he's specifically renting the sus. I'm not specifically renting the car. I don't care what car you take.
I don't care what the sus.
What?
I don't,
well,
also
I don't
care
what the
sus. I don't care what sus.
Yeah, I'm not sure what rent the car for.
Are you saying that I now have a din of a socher
on the sus? Yes.
I have the achrayas of a Shomer Socher.
The Baal is with me, so therefore there's no...
No, he's not the Baal. He's the Chayri of the Baal.
No, he's also called Baal is with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, Moshe has a tshuva by Hilchos Shabbos. That by Eruvei Chatzeros, he says if you're renting a room in a hotel, and the hotel has the right to switch rooms on you in the middle, that's not called the room belongs to you, you're allowed to carry from one to the other. So it should be the same thing.
No, that's Hilchos Erevin.
But it means that I'm not a socher.
No, that's different rules for Erevin have. Even if you are a socher, but for Erevin it's not enough in order to consider a problem carrying. It's different rules. Okay, so how do we work out of the 800 shekels, how much is that for? The car, how much for his service?
There are criteria for hiring a driver without his car.
So,
and there are standard mileage rates that
okay,
people will pay for.
So how much of the 800 shekels is for, do we work it out?
Mm-hmm.
What?
To a pro rata.
Pro rata. So the note to Behudza says something like you.
Well, he will maintain that I charge you market price for the tax and everything else.
Yeah, that's what he can claim. He can claim, you know, for the taxi, I charge the market price. Why is it 800 shekels? Because I charge you 500 shekels for my services, and there's no overcharging, so I'm okay. What forces us to say you can't do such a thing? So that the Noda Behudah explains, and here we'll finish. He says like this: Shemachshim shovi scha hapo kanoik, v'shovi scha hasus kanoik. Work out the going rate normally just for work, hire somebody to drive a car, not his car. And how much is that? Hire just a car, not just without the worker. And then we make a percentage relative to this, to that, how much each one is. Achuzim. And we work out the onor like this. Which means that if to hire the taxi by itself is like 1 shekel a kilometer, and you're going 400 kilometers, or 200 kilometers, then it's 200 shekels for the car. And if normally to hire somebody just to drive you there, and he would charge you 5 hours, so it will be another 500 shekels, yeah? So the relative is 5 to 2. So the relative is 5 to 2, then I take the 800 and say, 8 out of this 800, 5 parts of it is for his services which he provided in driving, 2 parts of this 800 is for the car, and now I know how much he's charged me for the car out of the 800, 2/5 of the 800, and therefore I can now take a sixth off that 2/6.
What's another thing you're using for?
Well, it might be more than a sixth you can take off, but you would have to assess it again.
Yes.
The cost.
Yeah. Logic, Svara.
Oh, his own Svara.
His own Svara. Now, who was here last week?
Last week?
Yes.
You just you two. So, I'm just going to finish off with a story. You don't have to listen to the same story as last week. But it's such a good story, I want everyone to hear this story. Yes, you can get
it. I won't remember it.
I finish off with a story. With Kiva Aker, you will remember it. Somebody used to lend a lot of ribbis, which is also, of course. And then he died, and then his relatives wanted to bury him. They came to the Chevet Elisha and said to him, "This is a Rosha you want us to bury. For Roshayim, we're going to charge 10 times the price." The relatives weren't too happy, so they took him to the secular courts, because they thought they'll win in the secular courts. The secular courts didn't know what to do. So they said, "We want an expert witness to come in. Let's call Rav Kiva Aker in." So he called Rav Kiva Aker in and said, "No, this is what's going on. What do you think?" So Rav Kiva Aker said like this: "Really, it's not overcharging. Why? Because the halacha in the Torah says that when you charge ribbis, then you're not zocha to tzachias ameisim. So therefore, normally when you get buried, it's only temporary. You get up out of Atzachias HaMesim. That's the price for temporary. But when you charge rivers, you don't get up. So this is the price if you're going to stay there for long." Okay.